of James chapter 5. Last week we looked at praise and prayer is powerful in the book of James. And this morning we're going to see the second part of last Sunday's message. Last week it was the praise and prayers that we are to offer up to the Lord in time of need. And this morning we're going to be looking at the sick restored. So prayer and praise is very important in our lives. And James points that out. And as I said last week, if you get lazy in your Bible study or devotions, you are to go to what?
James.
And James will get us on the right track of how we are to be steadfast in our Bible study, in our prayer life, and praise. So looking at, I'll begin with verse 13 and read through 16 of James chapter 5. So you have your Bibles. Technology is not working at the moment, but Alan is right here to get this straightened out, okay? All right. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? Everybody cheerful this morning?
Of course.
All right. He is to sing praises, and we've been doing that this morning as well. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven him. Now, aren't you glad that you can be forgiven your sin? All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is pray. And in verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So, looking at prayer this morning and praise, you know, when you read the Bible and you study and you're looking for all the answers to life situations, right? It's important to pray. And sometimes we may think, well, my prayers are not getting answered, or my circumstances are not changing, and so forth. The Bible nowhere promises that Christians will have an easy life. How many of you have had an easy life up to this moment in your life? Have you? No? Well, we won't have an easy life. But the Bible does tell us what to do when trials come. So, some Christians will be afflicted. Not all maybe, and not all lost people will be afflicted. They'll go through trials specifically planned by God. So what do we do when we go through the trials and afflictions, the hardships in life? What we do? We pray. We pray. Yes. And the last part of verse 16 said prayer of a righteous person or people can accomplish or much avail. So it is important that we do pray. And James doesn't promise that God will remove the affliction, but he does suggest that God will give the grace necessary to endure it, just like he did the Apostle Paul. So James believed in prayer. He did. It is noted in traditions, if you read the traditions of the authors and those who penned scriptures, and James being one of those, tells us that he spent much time in prayer, that his knees became hard and callous. How many of you this morning have callous knees? Is it from working or is it from praying? Well, either one, you know. It's good. Okay? So, God works effectively through prayer, but that prayer must come from a clean and dedicated heart. That's where it must come from. So James uses Elijah as an example of the power of prayer in 1 Kings chapter 17. If you want to read that today, how Elijah went to God in prayer. He, in all situations, when you read in the Old Testament, the prophets and the apostles, when there was a specific need or problem or hardship or trouble or the enemy was approaching them, they went to God in prayer. They sought Him first to get the answers of what they should do, and we should do as well. So it wasn't Elijah's natural gifts that made him a great man. It was his dedication and his faith to go to God. So, this morning, let's look at how the sick can be restored. In verse 14, if you look at that, it encourages the weary or the sick to ask the elders to pray for them. Now, back in 1985, when I was at Florida Baptist Theological College, and working on my bachelor's degree in theology, I was a part of an evangelism team there on the campus, and we had the opportunity to drive from Graceville, Florida, you know where that is, right below Dothan, Alabama. One weekend, we left on Friday, and we drove all the way up somewhere in Ohio. I don't remember what it was, but it took us a long time. And there was 12 of us. We was in three different cars. And we drove up to this town. And on Sunday morning, they had prepared for each one of us to go to a particular place to preach. And my assignment was given to a mission church that was downtown. And we had escorts that picked us up and took us to where we went. Well, I preached that morning at this mission church, and it was a tremendous service. And the people were very open to us coming and responded very well. After the service was over, this lady came up, and she was a mother to her daughter who was sick at home in bed. And she came up to me and she said, "Would you go to my daughter's house and pray with her? She is very, very sick." And I said, "Sure, I'd be glad to." And my driver says, "You won't have time." I said, "We'll have to take time." And I said, where does she live?" And she said, "Well, you have to come out and I have to show you." Well, this particular area had some big rolling hills, and she took me out on the sidewalk. She said, "You see that knob way up there?" I said, "I see that." She said, "It's up there." I said, "How do you get there?" She said, "Just follow me." I said, "Driver, take me up there." He said, "Well, we're going to run short on time." I said, "Well, they're going to leave without us because I've got one of the cars and I'm driving it." So. So I was in my Honda Accord. But we drove up there, and right up at the top of that hill, and you could see the valleys down below. But I went into that home, and there she was laying on the bed, very, very sick. And I knelt down beside her, and I talked to her a few minutes and asked her needs and her prayer concerns. And I prayed with her. And just a tremendous effect of just me willing to go up there and seeing the family respond to that. And the lady said, "Thank you so much." And she said, "I feel better already." And of course, didn't have any touch with them after that, but you know, that's what this lady did. She called on prayer. She said, "Will you go pray for my daughter?" Now, I would have missed the blessing if I hadn't went. And we don't know how God intervened in that. And I'm sure God intervened in that because she made the effort to ask. I went, and the prayer was offered up in faith. So that's what James is talking about. Call on elders. Now, when you think about elders, you're looking at the word in a broad term. And the Bible in the New Testament explains the elder as a pastor or bishop, which means the overseer of the spiritual needs of the church. And that's what took place right here. Now, the elders are directed to perform two acts, okay? Now, let's see. They are appointed to do two acts. They are to pray over the sick person and to anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. So the praying over can indicate person that are sick that they can get out of bed. Well, I mean, they may not get out of bed, but they may. Jesus performed many miracles where they got up and they walked. He said, pick up your bed and go and walk. In some situations today, it might not happen that way. But but pray. The praying over indicates the weak to pray for them. And the call seems to come to the home or hospital or room. Therefore, beside someone who is dedicated to the Lord. So the anointing with oil seems to be a symbol of touching of divine grace by the Holy Spirit. And there's many indications, many ways of the anointing of oil. It's many times it can be used in dedicating children to the Lord, or as James describes it here, anointing the oil, which is the oil does not bring healing, but it's a symbol of the healing through the oil that is used. And the Bible gives many examples of how the oil was used in the Old Testament and the biblical times. Also, in verse 15, it tells of the effect of this action upon the suffering person. There's two promises that are given to those who pray in faith. Anytime we pray in faith. We pray with expectations, okay? When we pray, we're expecting God to intervene or work on our behalf. Now, when we pray, we expect. We pray in faith. Now, sometimes our prayers don't get answered exactly the way we want them, but He will answer our prayers according to His will. So, two promises are given to those who pray in faith. The prayer offered in faith brings about the restoration and the healing of the sick person, and which is mentioned right here in verse 15. Again, the emphasis is on the fact that it is the Lord who raises the sick man or heals the sick person. The elders and even the prayers are only instruments of the Lord's that He uses. It's always God who heals. And for instance, you know, we have doctors, we have hospitals, and all these people who are trained and educated provide the necessary essentials for a person to be treated. But when it comes down to the action of our body, or our emotions, our spiritual needs, God does the healing. And thank God for doctors and hospitals and nurses and all these people who provide the care and they are doing what they are called. God calls them to be in that position, and God takes over from there, and he heals according to his will. The second promise is that if has been committed sins, or if anyone's committed sins, they will be forgiven. Just like the thief on the cross. That's a good example, isn't it? One thief mocking and making fun of Christ, and the other said, you know, he hasn't done anything. And Lord, as I hang here on this cross beside you, remember me in paradise. And he said, for this day forward, you shall be with me in paradise. So right there on the cross, he asked for forgiveness, and God forgave him. Anytime in our lives we need forgiveness, God will forgive. Many, many situations like the psalmist David. You know, he was a great king, a mighty warrior, a great shepherd, but he had flaws. And especially in Psalm 51, if you read that, he recognized his sins. He went to the Lord and said, create in me a new spirit. Restore unto me thy great salvation. And God did. He restored him. And he did that through prayer. He did that through a humble heart, recognizing that he had made a lot of mistakes, and God did forgive him. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives who consciously reminds us of where we fall short, where we sin. And when we recognize that and the Holy Spirit points that in our life, you know, James says, you know, pray. Ask God's forgiveness, and he will do that. So the wording here, as we see there on the screen, indicates that the illness in some cases is due to sins of the sick. Not all, because even Jesus said when he healed a man, and he said, get up and go your way and sin no more. It's an indication that he forgave. But often people would say, what sins have this committed? Did, was he or his parents? He said, no. That my works might be glorified to the Father. So sometimes examples like that God uses for his glorification. Now, also when the sickness or the weakness is due to the presence of sin, the sick person or the person sick is assured that forgiveness is given. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And it makes so much difference in your life. As the Bible says, it's that peace that surpasses all understanding when we realize, okay, I've committed a sin, so I go to the Lord, I ask forgiveness, and that forgiveness and that sin is forgiven. What a difference that makes. See, sins are sent away because God no longer holds them against the sinner. That means he forgives completely. Okay, let's look at the manner as how to receive healing from sin. And it's very clear here in verse 16. And I'm glad that we have these scriptures that remind us that we can be forgiven, that we can have faith, that we can trust in the Lord, and that he gives us these promises all the time that we can claim. So confess means to the person sick is assured that forgiveness is given, and then we must call the act, our thought, our word, our attitude by its true name and see what it is. Now sometimes, you know, if we don't ask forgiveness, okay, you sin, the Holy Spirit said, okay, you sin, and it was said, well, I'll worry about that later. And a lot of times we'll, accumulate a lot of stuff and say, forgive me from all of my sins, Lord. And we do that. We say that sometimes, don't we? But we are to name them. Just like when we sing, count your many blessings, name them what? One by one. The Bible says that we are to call them out, that we are to name them, that we be specific, that we understand, okay, I am so remorse of this sin that I just committed, and I'm calling it out. David did that. He called his sins out. He didn't say, well, the one that I committed yesterday or the day before, I forgot what it was, but you remember. No, the Lord will remind you. He will surface that up in our lives, and we are to call those out. What I'm saying here this morning, when you sin, stop right there immediately and name that sin out and say, Lord, forgive me for doing that. And you will be blessed. And then this verse concludes by indicating the powerful effect of prayer. Prayer is powerful. It is powerful. And many times I'm sure that you have prayed and you have seen God work immediately, instantly, or in a process of answering your prayers. It is so great to know that how God works, that when you pray, he goes into action. See, prayer is an act of faith. And it's also an act of will, a will that has been directed by God's word, energized through the working out of obedience. When we pray out of obedience. So, our energized prayers are a part of God's healing process in our lives. And you, I tell you, I don't know how many times I've heard people say, thank you for your prayers. I felt those. I saw God work in those. It brought me peace. And that is exactly what we should be doing. And that's why God often waits for confession and prayers of faith, of the faith, before intervening in a person's life. As I use this example, and it's an example that God doesn't come to us looking for information. He comes to us by the power of the Holy Spirit asking confession. He doesn't need the information from us. We give him a lot of information, don't we? Maybe we're going around and beating around the bush and stuff like that, but God wants a confession in our lives. So when sin has been correctly acknowledged and dealt with, then God brings healing, both physical and spiritual, and also, I want to throw that third one in, emotionally, because it affects all three of these in our lives. Accountability, confession to others, brings to God's forgiveness, allowing God to make the repentant believer spiritually whole again. And there's nothing better than a feeling of that wholeness and that oneness with the Lord again. Okay, in closing this morning, God will answer the prayer of his people in the ways that often differ from our expectations. Now, if you want to understand what I'm talking about, read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and following. That he didn't always answer it according to our expectation, but what is best for us, what is his will, because he knows what's best. So it's our responsibility to be faithful and go to him in prayer. And I want to throw in that praise. It is so important to praise God, to thank him. Just like Jesus, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. See, Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. And when we learn to pray effectively, our prayers will be also answered effectively. But prayers of God's people are never wasted. Never wasted. Just like education. Your education will never be wasted. You can always put it to use. And the prayers of God's people are never wasted. He will honor them. See, God hears prayers of the righteous people, and those prayers filled with the energizing strength of the following, His will change your life. Now, God responds to prayer and passionate prayers to bring strength, encouragement, endurance, in healing, and forgiveness. And I could go on and on and on how prayer works in our lives. But prayer is strong. Prayer is strong faith to God in times of trouble and in times of not only trouble or hardships, but in times of joy. Two different types of prayers. Prayers of need and a prayer of joy, of thanksgiving, and being grateful how God works in our life. So James makes it pretty clear there in the last chapter what we are to do when it comes to specific needs or hardships or circumstances far beyond our capability of responding to or how to deal with them. And then we go to the one with all wisdom. James says, pray. And the prayer of a righteous people availeth much. Don't forget that. Pray, pray, pray. And you will see God at work every time. Our Father God, we thank you again for your message. We thank you that prayer is a very powerful ingredient in the Christian life. Without it, we would be lost. We would lose our way. We'll lose our confidence and our ability to communicate if we didn't pray. And praise is an important part of our responsibility as well. To thank you, to be grateful for all that you do in our lives. And this morning as we come together to this, our invitation, the altar call, it is a invitation to bring all of our concerns to you, everything within our lives to you. And because you know everything about us, and you know more about us than we know ourselves. But those things that you point out to us by your Holy Spirit is for our good, that we come to you and acknowledge our shortcomings. All have come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short of your righteousness. But, Lord, you restore us unto a great salvation, as Psalms 51 says, that enables us to be your witnesses, and it restores our fellowship, the oneness that we always have with you from the very moment that you saved us until the end of our time here on this earth, that we meet you in eternity. So Lord, help us to be constantly in the mode of prayer, looking and seeking you with all our heart, soul, and mind. Whatever the decisions are this morning, Lord, I just pray that we will be open to your calling. This invitation is a privilege to come to you and thanking you and praising you for the great things you have done. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I'm going to be singing our